All of Scripture is this beautiful story of the Lord with this very passionate love pursuing us. The loss of the closeness that we had with God after Adam and Eve, our first parents, chose sin, that loss of that closeness with Him, the Lord, He never wanted that distance and just continually worked to pursue us and come after us, a pursuit out of love, not a pursuit chasing us down in order that we might be punished, that we might pay the price, but coming after us because in the Lord's heart is this incredible, overwhelming desire that each of us would be so close, so deeply in union with Him. It's why He made us. And so you see this pursuit just unfolding and getting deeper throughout the whole story of Scripture. Remember when the Lord began to lead His people out of slavery in Egypt, and out of fear, when they're leaving Egypt with the Egyptian army pursuing them, the Lord wants them to know that He's with them. And so over the stretch of time, we're told in the book of Exodus that the Lord made His presence with His people known by a pillar of cloud by day and by a fiery pillar at night. Day and night, He wanted them to know that He was with them. Now, this was a new thing. This had not happened before. When they were in Egypt and as they had become slaves, they didn't have some kind of physical revealing of God's presence in that way. This was a new thing because it marked this new moment as the Lord is drawing us closer to Himself. Later on, after that, the Lord's presence with them took an even greater and more fixed kind of form when Moses constructed, as God designed, the Ark of the Covenant, within which the stone tablets of the law would be placed. And when Moses did that, the glory of God descended upon the Ark of the Covenant. God's very presence was in the Ark. And so the Lord now comes and dwells among His people in an even closer way. Now it's not just a pillar of fire or cloud outside farther away, but now the Ark of the Covenant with the very people. When they would stop on their journey through the desert, the Ark was given its own special tent that it would be kept in, and the people would camp outside of it, but the Lord was there with them. When they finally got into the Promised Land, there comes a point where David is inspired by the Lord to build a temple for God. So no longer would the Lord dwell with His people in just a canvas tent, which would house the Ark of the Covenant, but He built a temple. And then His son Solomon would expand that temple and make it even more glorious, a home for the Lord. So step by step by step, the Lord keeps drawing closer and closer to His people. And this huge, incredible, just unheard of moment happens with what we celebrate at Christmas, when the Lord said in His plan, it's not enough that I would be in your midst in a stone temple, but I want to be among you in the flesh. And so the Father sends His Son, born of the Virgin Mary, who comes among us in our own human flesh. The Lord wanting to be so close to us that we could see Him and hear Him and touch Him. This plan just keeps unfolding and unfolding. Tonight in the gospel, the Lord announces that as marvelous as what happened at Christmas was, even that is not the end. Jesus says to His disciples in the upper room before His passion, and He says the words to us tonight as we're getting ready for Pentecost, because it's the Holy Spirit that makes this happen. Jesus says, if anyone loves Me, he will keep My command, and My Father and I will come to him, and we will make our home within him. In you. is what the Lord wants. So it's so absolutely marvelous that because he so passionately loves you, it's just not enough that he would be anywhere on the outside, but rather the fullness of his plan is, I want to make you, your heart, your soul, my very dwelling. He does it because of the great love that he has for us. And so with all of that, I share that whole movement in Scripture that's bringing us up to Pentecost. It's the Holy Spirit who makes God's presence in us real. But with all of that, there's so much that could be said. Like you could spend all kinds of different homilies talking about how much he loves us, that he would want to dwell in us. And there's just all kinds of different ways that we could go with it. I want to pull out just one simple, fundamental truth. That it's so obvious that we may not even pay attention to it, but we need to know it. And it's a very simple truth that the Lord wants to be that close to you. He wants to dwell in you, to dwell in your very heart. He wants to live inside of you. Now, it's so obvious that you might think, well, Father, duh, we just heard that in the gospel. But here's the thing. So many people have a totally different starting point when it comes to their relationship with God. So many Christians have the mistaken starting point that says, I don't think that God wants to be close to me. I don't think he wants that. And so a lot of people then say, I think I have to earn it. I think I have to go and win a big trophy and then come back to my Heavenly Father and say, look how good I am. And then put that trophy before him, and then he would say, ah, yes, now I want to be close to you. It just doesn't work that way. Prayer is a struggle for all of us, but often in that struggle of prayer, a lot of people mistakenly say, maybe he doesn't want to be close to me. Because prayer is hard, maybe he doesn't really want that. Maybe I'm not doing it right. There's all kinds of ways that we can go off in the wrong direction. And so tonight, I want to put just that one basic, beautiful, fundamental truth before you. He wants to be close to you. Not because you are perfect. Not because you found a way apart from him to fix your sins. Not because you've achieved some level of performance or something in life that you think finally is going to make him proud enough of you that he would finally, you would catch his eye. Not that at all. He wants to be close to each and every one of you for no other reason than the fact that he deeply and passionately and personally loves you. That's what he wants. But that one truth, when we hold on to that truth, it begins to change everything. Like when you get up in the morning and you know that he wants to be close to you, it changes the way that you pray. If prayer was all about having to find a way to God and convince him to want to be close to you, it would make it an incredibly heavy burden. It's hard enough already because the world that we live in is filled with distractions. But when you go into prayer knowing that he already wants to be close to you, it changes the way that you pray. There's a beautiful paragraph in the Catechism that talks about that very thing. And I won't get the exact line down, but the heart of it is, it encourages us in prayer by saying that when we go to meet the Lord in prayer, we find that he is already there waiting for us. Just think about that. Tomorrow, Monday, the beginning of the work week or the school week, when you take time for prayer in the morning or at the end of the day or in the middle of the day, when you pause and you turn your heart to him, he is already there waiting for you because he wants to be close to you. So I want to encourage you with that, because like I've said already, prayer is hard. But when we know that he's there waiting, it changes the attitude of our heart and the way that we approach prayer in a good way. Now, let me give one final encouragement around your prayer. When we begin to recognize the Lord's indwelling in us, so that's a gift that we call sanctifying grace. Sanctifying grace is the gift that Jesus talks about in the gospel tonight. When we've deliberately chosen something that is grave or deadly sin, that is incompatible with the dwelling of God in us. So it's Jesus says, if you love me, we will come and dwell within you. So when I make a choice to not love him in a grave way, I'm choosing to close my heart to him. But when I do love him, what begins to happen is that we begin to recognize his life within us in such a way that it carries with it a great sweetness. There is almost a tangible side or dimension to it, that he begins to let us know that he really is inside of us. It is a comfort. It's a sweetness. There's a delight to it. There's a peace that comes with it that nothing in the world can ever touch. But I think probably, I don't know if it's fair to say the majority, probably it's fair to say the majority of Christians, we have such a hard time settling down in our prayer that most of us have never experienced the overwhelming joy that comes from growing to recognize the living presence of God in our heart. And so I'll end with that as just another encouragement for your prayer. It's okay in the midst of a crazy busy day to just launch little prayers off to the Lord. That's a good thing. Just going into something that's hard or difficult to say, Lord, be with me, or Lord, help me. That's good. But there's another dimension to our prayer that requires us quieting down enough, settling down enough, putting our devices far enough away from us, and just plain giving it time over days and weeks for something incredibly marvelous to open up that most people in our day and age don't even ever experience. I want you to experience that. It's why we have adoration, Eucharistic adoration, from Thursday night, overnight, all day Friday, overnight Friday to Saturday morning. It's why if you go out to our adoration page on our website, I will happily send you the code for the door so that at 3 a.m. on a Tuesday morning, if you want to come and spend time with him, you can do it. I want that for you. But it does require calming down and quieting down enough to begin to recognize his presence within us. So tonight, that's my prayer for each of us, that in the midst of such a busy and loud and distracting world, that we would come to know the joy that flows out from the promise that Jesus made tonight. If any one of you loves me, my Father and I, we will come to you, and we will make our dwelling, our home within you.